I'd like to thank you very much for your prayers for Marge, and for those of you who've sent cards and emails and flowers and gifts, and we've been inundated with stuff. We have appreciated the support incredibly from you all. Marge is doing okay. She's home now from sick, and she's had two operations for breast cancer, and she's now got about 10 days wait till they find out how much further it's spread and what kind of treatment she has to have. She had a second operation because the cancer had spread further than they anticipated when they did the first operation, so they had to have a second one, and so now we need to see what happens. And so we're really very, very appreciative of your prayers. It's meant a lot to us.
Thank you.
Jolene and Glenn, that was great, the step you've taken this morning. Bless you and what you've done. Fantastic. We're starting a series today. We're doing this series of books on life together, they're called. There's going to be five of these books on different aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we did the first one some months ago, and this is the second one, Belonging. And these are going to go out to all the small groups after the missions week. We can do the studies in them. But we're doing a four-week series on it. And so what we're going to do is each Sunday we're going to have two different people, morning and night, speaking on the same theme. They'll be quite different messages, but looking at this each topic. And this morning's topic, as we've heard, is about adoption. But I want to just say a word about tonight's service. Christina, who was helping with the baptisms there, she's going to be preaching tonight, and also the carpenters are going to be sharing a testimony, I think the whole family, and as well as hearing more about the adoption option. And so I think this should be quite an inspiring time tonight. That's tonight, and this is this morning, and what I'd like to do now is to read to you. There are three passages in the New Testament that talk about adoption, and I want to speak this morning on all three of these. And so what I'd like to do, first of all, is read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Let's all pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for the sheer wonder of these words that we've read here now, that you, Lord, are prepared to adopt us as your children. We who have nothing redeemable about us in ourselves, we who have chosen to go our own way in life instead of your way, that you've reached out and you've said, I will have this unwanted child, and they will be wanted. And they will be loved. And we thank you for this amazing grace, O Lord. And as we think about this morning and what it means to belong to you, we pray you give us your insight. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like to do this morning is to talk about adoption, and I'd like to talk about three different things about adoption that will be based on these three passages that I've been reading. And the first point I'd like to make is adoption is about love. This passage in Ephesians We read these words, particularly in verse 5, "In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." You know, this is a wonderful, wonderful truth in the Bible, that God's eternal purpose is that we would become his children, not because of our birthright, not because of our status in life, not because of our achievements, but because of his love. He's wanted us. He's chosen us to be his. I was reading a story this last week written by a Korean woman who was born as the result of a union between an American soldier and a Korean. And the American soldier went back home and left this pregnant girl. And this child was born, and she received a lot of rejection, apparently, and the mother abandoned her on the street. She was picked up, taken to an orphanage. And one day there was a lot of excitement went through the orphanage because they'd heard there was an American couple who were coming to adopt a little boy. So this little girl spent the day helping clean up the little boys in the orphanage, giving them baths and combing their hair, and wondering which one would be adopted by the American family. And then she tells the story of how this American couple arrived, and she saw the man. It was like Goliath had come back to life. "I saw the man with his huge hands lift up each and every baby. I saw tears running down his face, and I knew if they could, they would take the whole lot back home with them. He saw me out of the corner of his eye. Now, let me tell you, I was 9 years old, but I didn't even weigh 30 pounds. I was a scrawny thing. I had worms in my body. I had lice in my hair. I had boils all over me. I was full of scars. I was not a pretty sight. But the man came over to me, and he began rattling away something in English, and I looked up at him. Then he took his huge hand and laid it on my face." What was he saying? He was saying, "I want this child. This is the child for me." And that's a wonderful story of God's adopting love for us. And this whole concept of adoption means a huge amount to me personally, because I was adopted. And it's given me a profound understanding of the nature of the gospel itself. That God should reach out to us. As long as I can remember, I've known I was adopted. From the very beginning, my mum told me. And so I didn't grow up like some children do, kind of wondering about their ancestry and suddenly finding out sometime down the track they were adopted. I'd sort of known, as long as I can remember, it was part of who I was. But along with being told that I was adopted, I was always told that I was loved and wanted. And I think that's why, for me, adoption was such an incredibly positive experience. Now, I know some people have bad experiences of adoption, and of course, they're the ones that get all the publicity. But that's life, isn't it? That's the way our society works. I mean, these last few weeks, we've been all horrified at these terrible stories of child rearing in this country and what is happening, but we can easily forget that there are thousands and thousands of folk in New Zealand who are doing a wonderful job at parenting, but we never hear about them. We only hear about the ones, and I feel sometimes it's a bit like this with adoption. You hear all the bad stories. Well, I'm a success story of adoption. I was adopted by parents who loved me and who taught me the faith and who told me that I was chosen because I was loved and wanted. And I grew up knowing that. And it's why I'm here today, because I knew I was loved. And so from the very beginning, this whole concept of grace, I understood it. It made perfect sense to me. I know there are a lot of people who struggle with the idea of grace. They think, "I'm not worthy of it." Of course you're not. You're not worthy of being adopted either. If you're a tiny, hopeless little baby and someone comes along and says, "I want this one," what have you done to achieve that? Nothing, absolutely nothing. It's all of grace. And this is a profound and wonderful concept in the Bible, that God adopts us as his children. That we have done nothing to deserve it. Absolutely nothing. Now, if you come from a prestigious background, and you've got a long line of noble ancestors, you will struggle with this idea of grace because you will think, well, I should be worthy of being accepted by God. I've got awful news for you. You're not. None of us are. It's all of grace. None of us can come up to God and say, well, God, here I am, choose me. I'm worthy of being chosen. No. Only Jesus gives us this wonderful, amazing insight that we, though unworthy of God, are adopted as his children by the wonder of what Paul calls his glorious grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. Only Jesus tells us that. Only Jesus, that we can know the Father. We can know God as our Father and be adopted as his children. Wonderful. We can gloss over it. We can fail to understand. This is the heart of the gospel of Christ. It is a wonderful, wonderful truth. That's the first thing. Adoption is about love. It's about grace. Second thing, adoption is about becoming someone's child. Now, this is from Galatians chapter 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since you are his children, he's made you also heirs. It's especially this verse 5 here, that Jesus came to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, there was slavery, of course, and there were two ways out of slavery. The first way was by being bought out of slavery. They had slave markets where they put the slaves up, put them up for sale, and people would come and pay a redemption price. You pay a price and you could set someone free from slavery. I was thinking this the other day when I was reading this story about a Jesuit priest in Los Angeles named Father Greg Boyle. And he set up this organization in Los Angeles that takes tattoos off ex-gang members. Because the problem is that in Los Angeles, in the hood, there's these guys join these gangs, and then some of them want to get out of the gangs. But to get out of the gangs safely, you've actually got to get rid of the tattoos. Another problem is that they can't get work covered in all these gang tats. You know? And of course, if they go in the wrong part of Los Angeles, their lives are in danger. So they want to get rid of these tattoos. But they've got this laser technique that can remove these tattoos. The problem is, it's just incredibly painful. Someone said that it's like having hot oil poured onto your flesh. It's that painful. But there's a huge queue. In fact, there's over 1,000 people waiting in a queue to get Father Greg Boyle's treatment. No charge. He does it as an expression of grace to free people from the enslavement of their past. Now, that was a great illustration, actually, of this paying a redemption price. In this case, they pay it themselves in order that someone can go free. And that, of course, is what Jesus did on the cross. We were slaves to our sin, but Jesus came and he died on the cross to take our place and take our punishment that was rightfully ours. He paid a price to set us free. So that was the first way to get taken out of slavery, to find freedom instead of slavery, was for someone to pay a redemption price. The second way was even far more radical, and that was that someone like a rich Roman couple could come along, see someone in the slave market, and actually adopt them into their home as one of their children, not even pay a price, but, well, the price, of course, would be a huge price to take someone like this, a former slave, in their home as their children. And adoption was quite common in the Roman Empire. Some of the Caesars were adopted, actually, Julius Caesar had an adopted son. Not that he'd been a slave. He was actually his nephew, but he adopted him. And he became the Emperor Augustus, who's actually mentioned in the New Testament. Now, the wonder of the gospel is that when God chose to take us out of slavery, he did two things. He paid a redemption price that Jesus died for us. But he didn't just do that. It's not just that Jesus died for our sins, and so like our sins have been forgiven and someone has paid the penalty for our sins. Wonderful though that would be. God went one step further. Amazing. He adopted us as his children into his family. I'll have this one. It's incredible. Only Jesus. Only Jesus does this. We become a child of God. We are redeemed and adopted. Wonderful. We are children of God. There was a great German preacher back in the 1960s named Helmut Thielicke. Thielicke, as a young man, had opposed Hitler and the Nazi regime and had belonged to the Confessing Church, which was the group that stood against Hitler and the Nazis. And after the war, he became a very, very effective preacher in Germany. He ended up leading this really big church in Hamburg. And I've got a book of his sermons, which I look at occasionally, and it's very, very inspiring stuff. And there's one on anxiety that I was reading the other day. And he talks about being a child of God and about holding the hand of the Father. And he talks about Jesus on the cross, that he was holding the Father's hand, that as he died, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he dies in absolute trust in the Father and the Father's good purpose. And that is what he says, what it means to be a child of God, to trust, to put your hand in the Father's hand, not to have a life filled with anxiety, but of trust. And then he ends his sermon with this. I thought this was just absolutely brilliant. Here's what he says. "We do not know what will come, but we know who will come. And if the last hour belongs to us, we do not need to fear the next minute." Isn't that amazing? That's what it means to be a child of God. Your life is secure in God. You can trust him with your life. Well, when we're a child, two things happen, actually, Paul tells us here. The first thing is we receive gifts. You know, that's what fathers do. Sometimes when you're a father, you wonder if fathers do anything else much, but fathers bring home gifts. You know, I remember when our kids were little, and I would have been away somewhere, and I'd come home on the plane, and here was Marge and these three little kids, and they'd come tearing out when they saw me, and you know what they said? Not, "Hello, Daddy, nice to see you. What have you got for us?" Yeah. Well, that's what fathers are for, aren't they? I mean, that's what they do. You know, imagine Christmas came around one year and there was no presents from Dad. You know, Dad stood there with a stern face saying, "Well, children, this year you haven't lived up to my expectations. No presents for you." People would think, what a loser of a father. That's not what a father... That's not what fathers do. What fathers give gifts. And so God, the Father, has given us this amazing gift. Wonderful. "Because you are his sons," Paul says, "God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." And that's the Father's gift. Wonderful. The Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." God has this wonderful gift for us. Wonderful gift, the gift of his Spirit, who comes to indwell our hearts, to make us want to cry out, "God, you're my Father. I love you." That's the Holy Spirit. He does that. That's the gift of the Father to us. Wonderful. Wonderful gift. It's amazing. That's a gift. And because of this, we have an intimacy with the Father. I don't know how many of you remember back in the 60s in the day when John F. Kennedy was president. There was this photograph came out. I was intrigued by this. Here's President Kennedy, the most powerful man in the world, sitting there at his desk, And then groveling around under his desk is John Jr., his little boy. No other boy in the world could climb under that desk and play. Only one boy. Why could he do it? Because the president was his father. And this is a picture that, how could we know the creator of the universe as our father? We can't, except for one thing. We've become his children. He's reached out to us and he's adopted us through his grace. He said, see that one there, filled with sin and uncleanness. I'll have that one. And that was you. The Father loves you. He wants you to know that you're his child. This is very profound stuff. So you not only receive gifts, we're told in this passage, but you receive an inheritance. So you are no longer slaves, Paul says, but God's children. And since you are his children, he's made you also heirs. I mean, that's what children get too, isn't it? One day they'll get an inheritance. And so what's the inheritance? So what is the inheritance we get? Well, I wondered maybe if it was like it was heaven, but then I thought, now when you read Galatians, actually if you read the context here, you see what Paul talks about all the way through Galatians is receiving the promise to Abraham. Yeah, you think, well, what's that? You know, if that's our inheritance, what's the promise to Abraham? Well, I'll read it to you. This was God's promise to Abraham, delivered back in Genesis chapter 12. God calls him and takes him on a journey, and he says to him, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You hear that? That's the promise to Abraham, that all the peoples on earth will be blessed. You see, this is God's eternal purpose, that all the peoples in the world be blessed and come to know him. And Paul makes it very clear here in Galatians that those who are children of Abraham are those who have faith. And so God's immense purpose for us, our inheritance, is to be part of God's eternal plan for all the peoples of the world, that they will know the love of the Father. That is God's eternal purpose. And the thing is, you could be part of it. That is the amazing thing. You see, the thing about this message, about adoption, is that the first thing about it is that we're adopted children of God, and that's amazing. It's the amazing wonder of grace. Now, you can stop at that point. And I mean, it's wonderful, and you can spend all your life rejoicing in that. But God's got something more for you. He's got a gift, and the gift is the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to enter into the reality of this amazing gift of the Spirit and know his power in your life and experience the wonder of it. And some people stop there. Lots do. Spend a lot of time rejoicing in the Spirit and so on. But God's got even more. But wait, there's more. And it's the inheritance that he wants us to share in, which is being part of God's eternal purpose in bringing the light of his love to all the peoples of the world through word, through sign, through deed, through sharing, whatever way we're called to, being part in the outworking of God's remarkable purpose for the world. That's what it means to belong to God. That's what it means to be an adopted child of God. It's wonderful. So here we are, adoption is about love, first of all. And then adoption is about becoming someone's child and receiving gifts and receiving an inheritance. Third thing is adoption is about assurance. This is from the third passage from Romans chapter 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Adoption's about assurance. Verse 15 here. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Now, this really interesting thought he has here, that it's the Spirit who brings us to adoption as sonship. You know how that happens? Here we are, we're living our lives apart from God. We're going our own way in life. And the Holy Spirit comes to convict us, Jesus said. The Spirit comes to convict us. And we become aware, I'm living my life without God. And so I turn around. I do a U-turn from following my own purposes in life. I turn around to follow God's purpose in my life. And then I put my trust in Christ. And through the work of the Spirit, I become aware that I've been adopted as a child of God. It's the work of the Spirit to do that. And he gives us assurance. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you know that? Do you have that assurance? Do you have the assurance in your heart that you are a child of God? Because not everyone has this. Many people try very hard to find this assurance. One of the most famous stories in all Christian history about this was about John Wesley. John Wesley lived, well, he was born nearly 300 years ago now, and he had a huge impact in Britain in the 18th century. John Wesley grew up a devout Anglican. He went to Oxford, and with some of his fellow students, they formed, they were a very pious bunch of guys. They really wanted to do God's will in their life. They're very devout, and they formed a group to study the Bible and to pray, and they were so holy that their friends nicknamed them the Holy Club. And they were very methodical, so they also nicknamed them the Methodists. And Wesley really, really, really sought to know this assurance in his heart that Christ had forgiven him, that he was a child of God. He thought perhaps if he went as a missionary, this would help him find this. So he went off to North America to the Native American population and preached the gospel to them. But on the way back, he said, I went to preach about a Christ whom I had not yet known myself. And on the way back, the story goes that he was on the ship coming back, and there was a huge storm at sea. And there was another group of passengers on the sailing boat, and they were Moravians. They were Moravian missionaries and Germans. And they'd gone there, and they were in the middle of the storm. They stood on the deck singing hymns. And Wesley was terrified that he was going to die. And he said to the Moravians, how can you sing like this? We could all be dead. And they said to him, brother, do you not have assurance of Christ? And he said, no, I don't. And he went back home to England and continued seeking. And then one famous night, it was the 24th of May, 1738, and he put this in his journal. Now, if you were raised in a Methodist church, you've heard this incident I'm going to read. We read over and over again. I have a friend who was a very good Methodist, and he said to me once that every Methodist lay preacher who ever preached in their church told the story about Wesley's experience of finding assurance. But for the rest of us who are not raised Methodists, including myself, I'll read it to you. Maybe this is a very famous story. In the evening, he said, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's introduction to the letter to the Romans. About 8:45, while he was describing the change which Christ works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for my salvation, and an assurance was given me that he'd taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I then testified to all there what I first felt in my heart. Let me just ask you, do you have this assurance in your heart that your sins have been forgiven, that you're an adopted child of God, not because of anything you've done or you have ever achieved, but because of the grace and the love of the Father who adopts you into his family and wants you to receive his wonderful gift of the Spirit who brings the assurance to your heart that you're a child of God. Let's bow our heads and reflect on this together. Thank you, Lord, for this message, this amazing message. No human being could ever have dreamed this up. No one could ever have presumed it to be true. Thank you, Lord, that you've revealed it to us sinful people, that we are saved by the grace of God, freely lavished on us in Jesus Christ, that we are adopted into your family, as your children, and we can be part of your eternal purpose, bringing your redemptive love to the world. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege to belong to you. Help us to live in the light of this, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have, excuse me, we have a prayer corner here.